darkness falls across the land. The midnight hour is close at hand. I suggest that you cover a different frightening game each week for the month of October. Your lives may depend on it. Beware the spook times.
This week in your parents' basement, we are getting proper spooked as we play Nightmare Creatures by Callisto Entertainment for the PlayStation and Nintendo 64. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the co-host that conducts a variety of experiments in 1666 while part of a devil-worshipping cult. It's Huell Hauser.
Huell is a former legitimate scientist who now masterminds the secret brotherhood of Hecate. Or yes, Hecate, I don't know.
Tecate.
Hecate. Hecate sounds much better.
Cerveza.
Picante. New York City.
Hecate is Spanish for two horses. And their other and their other co-host, he's looking for battles to keep his adrenaline high. It's Todd Brisket.
Hey, who knew all it took to kill a werewolf was to beat on it repeatedly with a large stick?
Mm. Oh, yes. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to ybbpodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys. And as always, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link. You can find it right on the YPB homepage, ybbpodcast.com. This week's game is Nightmare Creatures. Released in 1997 for the PlayStation and 1998 for the Nintendo 64, Nightmare Creatures is a third-person action-adventure survival horror game. From the Wikipedia description, the story begins in 1666 when a devil-worshipping cult called the Brother of Hecate were conducting sinister experiments in London so as to take over the city and then the world. The game takes place later in 1834 when London falls victim to several evil occurrences. Monster sightings are reported along with news of people mutating into ungodly creatures and that the dead are walking from their graves and walking among the living. All of London is in a panic and vulnerable to the schemes of Adam Crowley, a mad scientist and occultist enlisting the help of the Brotherhood. This game was picked by Todd's Method, so I feel it's only fair that you start off the discussion this week. What do you think of this one, Todd?
Ooh, boy. This one was, so this did come up on the wheel in our decision to choose the fate of our destiny last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we got a boatload of angry emails about this one. It is not Barker's Nightmare Creatures. Oh. It's just Nightmare Creatures, which is a different game than I was thinking of, which was Clive Barker's Undying.
Oh, so easy to confuse.
So easy to confuse. But this is just Nightmare Creatures. All the genres that Steve applied to this one up top don't really, I think it doesn't really summarize this game. This is just a beat 'em up. It's just a chop 'em up, beat 'em up.
Yeah, it's a 3D beat 'em up.
It's a 3D which I guess beat 'em up.
At the time was a new concept, but really this is the 3D third person beat 'em up is such a well trodden path these days that this just doesn't seem that unique.
It's unfortunate if you play it in nowadays. I think it does not hold up as well gameplay wise that it should. Like if you played this game in the time it was released, this would have blown your mind straight off your noggins, right?
Go ahead. Sorry.
This is a game where you are a dude named Father Ignatius Blackwood.
Or a lady.
Or, so let me read the bio of this game, of this fella here. He studied the diary of Samuel Pepys, and he began his journey across London to stop the Brotherhood of Hecate. This priest has been trained in martial arts, excelling specifically in bow staff mastery, which is he uses liberally to destroy the mutated creatures throughout the city. That guy
sounds
like...
he's a regular Donatello, yeah.
He's a regular Donatello with a Bible.
Oh, yeah. Bible-tello. I mean,
that is cool enough in itself. You are just some dude and smashing creatures with the bow staff, and or... at the beginning of the game up top, you can pick to play as the lady, Nadia Franciscus.
Nadia is
the daughter of Dr. Jean Franciscus. And Nadia is a master of immunology.
Yes, the new field of 1860-something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a side skill that phrenologists go into is immunology.
Mm-hmm.
She accompanies her father to London but to continue studying gymnastics, but she is soon caught in the evil plans of the Brotherhood of Hecate her father is murdered.
The classic combo of immunology and gymnastics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she is fencing. A practicing fencer.
Yes.
Using a fencer in a variety of sorts.
It's one of those great like action movie / game tropes of I happen to have a background in something athletic, so I can just go fight bad guys.
Yeah.
Like, I'll apply what I learned in gymnastics to take down these werewolves.
Yeah, I was waiting for her to do, like, one of the... on these giant, muscly creatures to do the thing where she puts her legs around the guy's head and then crushes their skull with her thighs.
Right. The Black Widow move.
The Black Widow, yeah.
Yeah.
Or, like, treat their big, muscly monster shoulders as a pommel horse and just kind of flip around for a while. That would have been interesting.
And, yeah, she doesn't dress... she's not dressed in appropriate London attire, I would say. You know, they generally stay on the mild side of the climb. And she's in full beach attire minus the boots, you know?
It's a spicy outfit.
She looks like she's ready to ride a horse. Like she's got riding boots and gloves on and
the horsey pants.
Yeah.
Well, they do. Looking at their background in the manual here, they do hail from New Orleans. So you know they do things a little looser down there.
New Orleans.
Traveling to England by ship, probably for 10 months.
Oh
they
yeah.
Arrive.
Yeah.
Just in time to smash some monsters.
What a coincidence.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, also, her father was murdered by the monsters, wasn't he?
He was,
as soon as they arrive in London, which seems like a bit of a bummer.
Yeah, once in London, Dr. F contacts Ignatius to relate his discoveries. But before Ignatius is able to reach the hotel, Dr. F is brutally murdered.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she's got some motivation there.
Dr. F. You know why I say, you know, bringing it back, this is just a pure beat 'em up game. It's not survival horror. It's not anything else. I mean, mainly because there are combos in this game. You are just like hitting the triple kicks, the hammer curls, strike, jump, kick, strike. There's different combos
back
you can pull off.
Kick combo.
You have to dodge the enemy attacks. You have to block
flying
their attacks.
Elbow smash.
Yeah. there's a move called divide and conquer, which is kick, up kick, strike kick.
Well, now.
Oh, I just noticed. There's another one called Weathering Slice.
Weathering Slice?
Weathering Slice.
Of course.
Named after Weathering Heights, of course. Which is kick down kick.
I get it.
Mm. Do the combos actually matter in this game? Because I mostly just
never noticed. I mean, like any one of these 3D beat 'em ups, and you know, going on record, one of my guiltiest pleasures of all time is the is the Romance of the Three Kingdoms. What is that? I'm completely blanking on the name now.
Crusader Kings 2.
Romance of the Three Kingdoms.
Kruki
2.
Not
you thinking of Dynasty Warriors? Or?
Dynasty Warriors. There you go.
Yeah.
Dynasty Warriors. Okay, can I shut down my Steam.
I think they are made by the same company. So that
they are. It takes in the that. Same setting. It's Koei Tecmo that makes those. So I'm saying what I was trying to say is full disclosure, guilty pleasure. I love these 3D beat 'em ups that you pull off these combos. But you can always just blaze through any game as long as you know the strike or strike kick strike combo. That'll take care of any enemy.
The secret to most of these is the kicks, because everyone goes for the punch. But it always seems like the kicks like either are stronger or they're like the best counter to whatever the enemy's trying to do to you.
Better range normally.
Yeah, it's just kick all day long in these 3D beat 'em ups if it's an option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This game may be, Todd, I actually haven't played any of those Dynasty Warrior games, but I have played... There's a Lord of the Rings game for PlayStation 2 that's one of them 3D beat-em-ups, and I played the hell out of that game. Me and my roommate would play it in college because it had a two-player mode.
That's probably the Two Towers, which is...
Dynasty Warriors?
No, the Lord of the Rings game. Oh, I'm pretty sure you're referring to the Two Towers on PS2, which is notoriously one of the best Lord of the Rings games.
Yes,
full disclosure to the listeners, I'm slightly distracted right now, but please continue.
Yes, Huel has to watch his Eagles beat the crap out of the Giants right now.
We're not beating the crap out of them. It's third and goal for the Giants right now.
I don't know. I think you're pretty safe here.
You haven't been watching us lately.
I have seen the Giants lately, though.
Well, that's a good point.
But no, that Two Towers game is splendid. It's incredible. This one, not so much. It's, I feel like every time we play a PlayStation game, I have the same complaint now, which is, man, this is blocky. Like, and
it is blocky.
And also this is clearly, I don't know. I was not using a DualShock controller for this one. I don't know if it works with analog controls. Did you guys try that?
I did not try the sticks. I just did the D-pad on mine.
No, my PlayStation is in storage right now, so I did not try it.
Okay. Cuz for me it meant that it had kind of like not quite tank controls.
Tomb Raider type controls.
Yeah. Where you have to kind of turn left and right and then move back and forward.
Yeah. The big way to sum that up is to go forward, you push up on the D-pad. No matter where the camera is, no matter which way you're facing, if you push up, you are walking, your character is walking wherever they're pointed.
It's a Resident Evil controls, the tank style.
Yeah, the tank controls as Todd made up that term.
Yeah, I coined that phrase. Resident Evil. I coined that phrase and people stole it from me.
Mm-hmm.
They did.
Yeah.
Mainly Dale. The thief. The world-renowned thief.
Scoundrel.
Ugh.
I just found it kind of clunky. I also, like, within the first 5 minutes, like, after beating up a zombie, I think, in the opening area, and then, like... I don't know. I used my sword to like slice something else in half. Maybe it was a werewolf. I didn't know what to do, so I had to watch on YouTube. Like,
how long was this?
The like, first area five, of the game.
45 seconds?
You have to go inside and hit a switch.
Okay, I couldn't find the switch. So I was like, what's going on here? Like, I don't know. This is another one of those games where it does not really walk you through things at all. At least I don't think there's a tutorial. I'm spoiled by these modern games.
Oh, you really are.
Yeah.
I feel like at this point I'm the Todd of Splatterhouse. Where sure, this is a average to below average game probably. but it's the aesthetic that sells it.
Oh yeah, does have great aesthetic.
1800s London, and we're battling zombies and werewolves. About it, I just love it.
You know how I would describe it, and how a lot of people would describe it? Gothic.
This is like an Anne Rice novel come to life.
But that, do you mean it's like an empty world that nobody's in?
Yeah.
Like there's a, I don't know, it just didn't seem like there was much going on.
Oh, no. This is nighttime in London. You know, people are hiding. They're scared of Jacob the Ripper and his fiends running around the city. They're scared of the zombies.
Well, think about
it. They're in their flats.
There's friggin' monsters out there running around. No one's going to just be like walk into the pub or whatever. They're going to stay inside while all the gymnasts and priests take care of business on the streets.
Mm.
Like, we'll leave it up to the experts.
Yeah.
The fencer.
Hey, pro tip for all you gymnasts and priests out there.
Please.
Hold it to daytime. Get a little daylight action. You know, that might help you out a little bit.
Yeah, those zombies are going to be a little slower in the sunlight.
Mm.
They'll be blinded.
That is a good tip. Yeah.
And the werewolves won't even be there.
Mm.
They only come out on full moons, too. So this entire game takes place on a full moon.
Yeah. It's probably like in one night. That seems pretty zippy.
If I told you guys that this was made by a French game company, do you now think it's a critique on British culture?
Yes.
Is this them mocking British people?
Clearly. I think that's what's going on.
It's almost as good as a critique as the Austin Powers series. The high bar for critiques on British culture.
Satire.
Yes, pure satire.
It's deep. Well, just to touch on where this series is now, Nightmare Creatures was followed by a sequel in 2000 and a cell phone port in 2003. The developer Callisto Entertainment declared bankruptcy in 2002, though. Their other titles include a video game version of The Fifth Element and Al Unser Jr.'s Arcade Racing. So,
what?
Not a lot of hits in the old dossier for Callisto Entertainment.
Who is Al Unser Jr.?
The Racy Man? The Racy Car Man?
Is that a famous Racy Man?
He is a famous Racy Man.
All right.
Why do you think his name's in the title?
I don't know.
I think he is a famous F1 racer, which would explain why a French gaming company is doing a game based on him.
He's a two-time Indianapolis 500 winner. So, congrats, Al.
Yeah. His father's Al Unser, and his son is Al Unser III.
That's weird.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Do you know who his uncle is?
Bobby.
And Jerry.
Bobby and Jerry Unser. What a
cousin,
name.
Uncle Bobby and Cousin Robbie. It's the Unser, it's the Unser lineage there.
They should have just named all of them Al.
like George Foreman.
Yeah,
and his kids.
They have a series of hibachis.
The creator of the company, by the way, is Nicholas Gaume. Game, I don't know. G A U M E. It'd be pretty good if it was pronounced game.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool. Hey, my name is. That's why. You know, I've said it many times. Hey, listeners out there, my real name is actually Jimmy Gas Stations, and I work at a Shell.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Is that also why Johnny Nintendo's decided to found the Nintendo Corporation?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he was like, hey, my name... Johnny Nintendo's was like, hey, my name's Johnny Nintendo's. What should I do for a living? I know what I'll do. I'll make a Nintendo. I'll make a video game.
Perfect.
Can't argue with that.
Sounds like the right move.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyways, old Nick Game here. he was, there were some shenanigans going on. This was the same time as the dot-com bubble. It was later found that he maybe exaggerated the value of the company, and he was forced to pay 200,000 euros by the French Stock Market Authority for providing misinformation to stockholders. So
he really gommed the system there.
What's that in real dollars?
Yeah.
Herzog two.
Oh boy.
Two. Yes. So anyways, that's where it is now. I couldn't find sales figures for this game. It seemed like it was somewhat popular, but not like the world's most popular game.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, it was popular enough to get a sequel. Enough people. Mm-hmm. Thing is, like, this is one of the. I think I mentioned it a little earlier. If I played this game when it came out, and in my young age, I would have been around, you know, 12 at the time, somewhere under 12, 13. This would have done blowed my mind all over the place. I would have been so amazed with this game. Not only is it just a, you know, beat 'em up, you run around punching zombies, but you can get some upgrades, like a saw blade on your bow staff, which chops the limbs off zombies. Whenever you swing, it chops a limb off. And there's blood spraying everywhere. You know, there's huge monsters. This would have been amazing if I played this when it came out.
I don't know. Like Tomb Raider came out a year before this game.
Yeah, and that was kind of the same.
I feel like Tomb Raider is way better than this one.
Oh no, I definitely agree with that. But this is like Huel mentioned, the aesthetic, the schlock, the schlock going on here. I love the setting; it's great for me. You know, the unknown of all these creatures.
The nightmare creatures.
Nightmare creatures.
Well, I do have a secret for you guys. As I fired this up this week, I realized I had played this as a Ute.
Ooh.
There was a brief time where I was borrowing a PlayStation from someone just to dick around. They had Nightmare Creatures. I played it for probably a day. And it all came flashing back. Like the London, the creatures, the nightmares. Mm-hmm. I didn't get very far. I think I was just trying out different games. So maybe at the time it wouldn't be as good and mind blowing because I had obviously completely forgotten about it before this week. So I mean, maybe we're onto something. Maybe it's just not that good. I don't know.
No, I'm with you. I'm just trying to give it points where I can because I agree. Yeah, I did not enjoy this game.
Yeah,
I did not enjoy this game.
Yep.
Todd, you didn't enjoy this game, but maybe you know some people who did enjoy this game.
Ah. Yes. So we did not enjoy this game very well, but I do have two reasons why Nightmare Creatures on the PlayStation and N64 is the most best game of all time. All right, and the first one is a review of the Nintendo 64 version of the game, and it's titled "My Daughter Enjoys It," and it's written by Cynthia Stalvey in July of 2013.
Oh, July in 2013, huh?
July 2013, and Cynthia wrote, "My daughter play this game, and she can shreds the zombies. I am amazed how she can play it so good. The game can keep you on edge of your seat, and it has a lot of surprise in that. My cousin had this game, and my daughter was playing it. My cousin couldn't believe how she could shred the zombies as well. Maybe one day she will get this game and start playing it. It is a good game to take your madness out on the monster and zombies. 5 Ooh. Stars.
Take your dark. Madness out. The monsters and the zombies, huh?
It's dark.
Yeah.
Shred them zombies.
Well, I hopefully they found a healthy outlet.
Yeah. It's a little therapy, this game.
Sure.
All right, the next one is a review for the official strategy guide for Nightmare Creatures.
What? Oh, I could have used it.
Is this the most best strategy guide of all time?
Yeah, this is the reason why this is the most best strategy guide of all time.
Right.
And it's titled Awesome. And it's written by an anonymous reviewer in July of 1999. Hmm. And this reviewer wrote, "This game is easy and I beat it in the first day I had it. 5 stars.
Whoa. That makes it a 5-star game.
Ooh. 5-star
strategy guide.
5-star strategy guide.
I mean, is it because he had the strategy guide? That's probably,
I guess so.
A contributor to beating it in a day.
If the strategy guide helps you beat it in a day, the first day you have it, then I guess it's a really good strategy guide.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. It tells you all the strategies and guides you to victory. So yeah, can't disagree.
Mm. Good times.
Yeah, great times.
Well, I only had one star Yelp review this week, and it's for Count Orlok's Nightmare Gallery.
What?
Well, there weren't any establishments called Nightmare Creatures, so you got to settle for the closest thing to it. And Count Orlok's Nightmare Gallery is in Salem, Massachusetts. Brooke B. writes, "The manager is so horrible and awful. I went to what I thought was a haunted house, and instead it was a small wax museum, which was not my impression based on the huge sign on the outside of the building and the advertisement online saying there was a haunted house. The manager proceeded to bully me on the phone, oozing negativity and bitterness about my legitimate and tactful complaint. I highly suggest you don't give any business to this place. The only thing haunted about this place is the manager."
Whoa.
1 star.
Burnt.
Oh my God.
Put on blast.
Legitimate and tactful. That's one of my favorites.
wasn't this a location in Fallout 4?
The Wax Museum?
Oh, well, yeah. Well, Fallout 4, you can go to Salem, but it's Salem has just tons of like witch museums and
tourist traps.
And,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I no doubt. Yeah. Not that I've been there, but you could imagine.
You don't even have to go to Salem. Just there's tons of them in New England. So. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. This is Brooke B's only review. So hopefully.
Wow. That one really hit her hard. That affected her enough to sign up on Yelp.
They were taken over.
Yeah. Well, I just hope she wasn't spooked after she wrote that and hope she's still with us. So.
Like in life?
Yeah. Be careful when you write about spooky places. Talk about,
you know, that's
games.
That's a hope I have for everything we ever read that somebody else wrote. I always hope after I read it, I hope this person is still alive.
Oh yeah, I think that every time.
Yeah. Well, Todd. Actually, no, Huel. I'm not sure if you got a chance to look at the manual for this one. Did you?
Well, I didn't look at a manual. I looked at 2 manuals.
Oh.
Wow.
I looked at both the PlayStation and N64 manual. And unlike Splatterhouse episode, these manuals are almost exactly the same.
Oh.
And by exactly the same, I mean terrible. It's like wall-to-wall words. It's like wall-to-wall technical details. There's almost no like life to this thing. That's in like the first half. So like as I'm reading through, I'm like, wow, this is bad. But it eventually gets to like some backstory. It does like the character bios of the two main playable ones and Mr. Adam Crowley. So it picks up a little bit. there's a lot of enemy descriptions and screenshots, mm-hmm. which is fun because there are a lot of enemies in this game. I mean, that's one of the highlights, I guess, is there's a lot of different enemies, which is cool. And it goes into the power-ups a little bit. So it was looking bad. It picked up a little bit. But overall, this is just like a word fest. Barely any, no art. It's just all screenshots. So I got to give this one a 2 out of 5 Mario 2s.
Wow. Disappointing.
It's not great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, continue. Sorry.
Well, I mean, I think you'll want to send me something for a
I didn't know if you had something to contribute as well, but I've done thing that you ask.
I did like that this game had a little thing that is not always in some of these older games, which is if you pause the game, you can look up the controls, which was I had to do from time to time.
I think that's kind of common in this generation and on, like PS1, PS2.
Yeah. Yeah, but it wasn't in every game in that era. So I did appreciate that little bit of in-game manuals.
Yeah, I mean this is where we're starting to phase out of the normal manuals and into just in-game either tutorials or menus and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which is part of why I refuse to look at any game past the year 2000.
because they start to transition away from manuals.
Huel's motto when he plays games is, get that waypoint the hell out of here.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't care about waypoints. That's not at all what I was talking about. I'm saying manuals. Give me the manual. Give me something I can feel. Give me the tactile pages. Yeah. I can turn and look at pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I can rub it all over my body.
Yeah, I can sit with it. I can snuggle with it when I go to bed.
He wants to cut himself with the manual so he can feel.
No, jeez. Oh, my God. That's not what I meant.
Well, so. I have a regular feature. Speaking of pain, let's transition to our German feature. The Herzog pain tolerance factor.
Yeah. Mag schnell mit der Art sings, huh?
This week, Nightmare Creatures clocking in at a Herzog Fünf.
Oh, it's a new one.
What is that?
That is 5.
Ah,
you actually almost pronounced it correctly.
Oh,
it's hard not to. Fünf.
Well, I think what you're saying is I pronounced it almost correctly because I pronounce it correctly.
Yes.
So, like every week, I almost pronounce it correctly.
Huh?
But no, this I don't know. It wasn't my cup of tea, but it's not like a broken game, and I could see how other people could have fun with this. So it's definitely it feels like right in the middle of the games we've played.
So, I was honestly expecting lower, so that was
as well, yeah.
It seemed like you sharded all over this one.
I don't know. I guess it's just that I didn't find anything of this excellent, but I also didn't think it was like really bad. Like the controls are kind of clunky for as compared to a modern game, but you know it's not awful.
Yeah.
So,
I agree with that assessment.
Now, Todd, what do you think about this one?
Well, my scale, bring it on around to the third scale of the evening for the show,
yes, please.
Is the DuckTale scale, and that has two primary factors. Number one being nostalgia, and number two being replayability. Now, nostalgia. I don't have much nostalgia for this game. I've only seen it in the GamePro advertisements and such. I've never played it, really. I don't think I've ever played it until this week. I thought it was a different game up until a few days ago.
Yeah, exactly.
So, not much. I love the name though. Nightmare Creatures. It kind of stuck in my head over the years. Like, what is that game? You know, it's gotta be a real spook. Gotta be a real scary thing going on called Nightmare Creatures. But no nostalgia for this one. Replayability? No, it's not that replayable. I think once you play through this game once. As one of the characters, they kind of open it up to say, hey, once you beat it with Father Ignatius Blowhard over there, why don't you go play as Nadia Comaneci with her gymnastic skills on the other side? But they kind of play very similarly. As long as you learn a combo or two, you can play exactly the same game. So there's not much replayability. There's no secrets that I could discern. There's nothing. It's not a great story at all in this game. So it's not like a Final Fantasy where you want to replay it and feel the pain again. So calculating those factors in, I would put Nightmare Creatures of the PS1 and Nintendo 64 at a 0.10 DuckTales.
Damn. I was close, but not as close as the past few weeks.
Oh. Jules, guess?
Oh, go ahead.
Hughes guess 0.06.
I think the replayability
it has a tiny bit of replayability.
I should have factored in the one of the primary factors and then factored in the two playable characters.
Mm-hmm.
That was my mistake, and I admit that as a man, I take responsibility of not factoring in.
That's very big of you.
A primary factor.
Yeah. Good for you.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I didn't have anything else to say about this one. Todd, was there anything else you wanted to add?
I do love how these zombies in this game, if you don't do the one hit, chop them in half move, they kind of juke around like a boxer.
Yeah, kinda, they block.
They sidestep.
Very
they
weird. Yeah.
Yeah, these are zombies with a little feather in their step.
Yeah, it's strange. Zombies usually shambling, very clumsy, but these are some very elusive zombies.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Only other big complaint about this one is, besides the controls, the camera all over the place. Can't see what's going on. Yeah. Camera right in your face. Camera going off somewhere else. Yeah, you know, that's a big problem in the 3D game.
That's this generation's kind of issue, I would say.
You don't have the fully 360 camera.
Yeah,
that you can. I kept trying to hit L1 and R1 to flip that camera around, and just obviously didn't work. So, Huel, was there anything else you wanted to say about this one?
Something I discovered: the driving storyline force, the Journal of Samuel Pepys, is a real thing. Samuel Pepys was a real person who kept a journal in the 1600s in London, and is renowned by historians as one of the few accounts of a lot of different big events in the old 1600s, such as the Great Plague, the Second Dutch War, the Great Fire of London. So it's one of those great little historical fiction tidbits for Nightmare Creatures.
Yeah.
So I thought that was fun.
That is fun. I like fiction that ties into real things, real kind of unknown underground things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remind me, the Shadow Hearts series of RPG games, Francis Bacon is like a character in those games, which is weird.
Odd.
Yes. So
also the Journal of Goofy, I think, was a big driving force in that game.
That's Kingdom Hearts.
Yep. You're right. I thought that's what you meant.
Isn't Kingdom Hearts 3 or 4 finally supposed to be coming out? That's
sure.
One of them.
Why not?
That's one of them games that's been long rumored.
Kids like those. Not my kids, the kids.
Mm-hmm. The collective kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's because there's been like 20 of them games on the handhelds now.
Mm.
So, well, let's move right along to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you receive any emails?
Oh, I did get an email. And the title is, "Am I Addicted to Video Games? Is This Severe?" And they wrote, "Dear YPB, I played all the day before while pulling off an all-nighter. Sometimes I might think about playing games while I'm at school or tutor. My peers say that I am playing too long. I still do activities and go to school, get good grades, but right when I get home, I play video games and forget about doing chores." And that's from Baron Trump.
Well, it would only make sense that he would write in, because his father is such a big fan of ours.
Yeah, that's probably how either he knows about the pod or Donnie knows about the pod.
Yes, so, hello. YPP boys, it's your pal Donnie.
I mean, someone found it first, and then the other one obviously latched on. I'd like to think Donnie found it first.
Yes, and
he's much more tech-savvy than the youth.
And we would love to have the most bullied woman in the world, Melania Trump, on the show at some point. Melania, this is a safe haven for you.
Yeah.
So,
are you an addict?
I mean, it's
good.
Yeah, I think it's judged by the consequences if you're getting them good grades in school.
The definition of addiction is, does it affect your daily life?
Yeah, yeah. I like to borrow a phrase from another form of addiction and call you a functional video game addict.
Yeah.
Sure, you play them a lot, you think about them a lot, but you still get the things done that you need to do. So is that so wrong? Mm-hmm. Is that so bad? Baron?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it sounds like you're doing fine.
You're still mowing the lawn as your father yells at you. That's okay.
Sure, you know, I'm with you, fellas, on that one. You know, as long as you get those grades, you catch the bus every day. You're not in there playing Mario 64 and missing the bus. You're catching that bus. Then you're doing good.
Take the bus, Baron.
Well, Huel, did you receive any mails this week?
I looked at my inbox today, and lo and behold, an email was there. And this is what it said. "Dear YPB, heard your episode last week. The Daedalus encounter sounded pretty boring. It would probably be better if I was in it. I just had a movie come out, so why not be in a video game too? I've had some pretty bad ones, though. I think I'm about due for a good one. Maybe I should avoid Tia Carrera vehicles altogether. It did make me wonder, what's the best alien in a video game? And that is from a Predator."
No.
I'm hopefully that's not Bill Cosby.
Oh, I don't think he has access to a computer anymore.
Yeah, going by the context of the email, I think it's the Alien Predator, the world famous movie and video game star. That's quite the ask, though. What is the best alien in a video game? That's a lot of choices.
Great ask. There's a lot. I mean, video games. When you think about video games, you think about aliens.
Two enemies I think about: Nazis and aliens. This one's about aliens. So
when I think about aliens, I don't think about bad boys. I think about friendlies. I think about a little series called Mass Effect.
Mass Effect.
And how about those Asaris with their entire female population?
Good choice. Like very friendly. Aliens. They can get very friendly with Commander Shepard. Yep. But there's a lot of choices just from Mass Effect alone. I mean,
oh yeah,
we could go on.
The Garrus folk, whatever his are called.
I forget too, but I was going to call them the Garrus, and then
the Garrus, yes,
the Krogan. You got
Taurians.
Yeah,
Taurians. Taurin.
Taurian.
Okay.
Taurians. Taurians.
The stuff in Red Bull.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a whole, Mass Effect probably pretty good.
Yeah, I was trying to think of one, and I don't really have a good one. I guess you know, from those games, I kind of like the Krogan the best. They're the most consistently entertaining to me. So I guess
they're gruff and beefy.
I would say that. Yeah,
yeah. The Krogan you can get on your squad are always your most amusing squad mates. So I'll go with them.
Yeah, those are obviously great choices. When thinking of sweet boy friendly aliens, I want to give another shout out to the N64 and say Elvis from Perfect Dark. He's the alien you have to rescue. He is a classic Area 51 gray alien dude who's been captured. But he's got some sass to him.
Did he so I never played the Perfect Dark. Did he hear our radio frequencies out in his distant planet, and that's why he likes Elvis and he has sass?
Well, he doesn't talk like Elvis. Like, he's just nicknamed Elvis because of the whole Elvis was abducted by aliens. I guess you could call it classic meme. But that was just his nickname. But you have to rescue him, and he kind of hangs out with you for a while. So that's pretty fun. But I mean, a series that Steve and I played a lot, the XCOM series. I don't want to pick them. They're baddies.
Yeah, I was just gonna say my nomination for bad boy aliens would be them XCOM aliens. They are not nice.
They are bad boys.
They really want to shoot you.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you even meet any friendly aliens in the first two games? Well, of the reboots, I guess. You find out, spoilers for a game that's now like 4 years old, but I think you find out in the second game that they kind of subjugate other alien species and then like use their DNA and do that kind of business. That's in a whole lot of different movies, I think.
You never really encounter the other species, though. I mean,
no,
you don't them coming to Earth trying to kill us.
Yeah, you don't meet any ETs. You don't meet any friendly aliens.
It's a very racist video game.
Yeah. So, I received one mail this week. Question for the sweet boys. Why aren't black doggos on the same spoop level as black kitty cats? No, as black catty kits.
Right.
Is it just because cats are superior to dogs? Steve may want to take this one. From friend of the show, Cosmo.
So much racism in that question.
Boy, that is...
One race is superior to another? Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I don't... You know, if cats really were superior to dogs, I don't know why people would, you know, be so afraid of the black one. Yeah.
Hey. But I mean, it's a kind
of
a contradictory...
Which one is the real spook? You know, I think that cats, the reason why black cats, that's more superstitious, is because cats are freaks. They act weird all the time.
They're freaking weird.
Dogs are all friendly. Even if it's a black dog, he'll come up and want to hang out with you.
Even if it's a black dog.
Find out where Todd's true feelings
lie. Well, I mean, I don't know if it's kind of chicken or the egg kind of thing, but... Classic witches, they always have black cats. That makes me think they're full of evil magic.
Yeah, but where did that stereotype come from?
What I'm saying, chicken and the egg. Go back to Massachusetts in the 1600s. There's probably black cats everywhere.
I don't know.
A wax museum.
I just think it's, you know, dogs are not subtle.
Like dogs, you kind of know what's on their mind, what their mood is at all times. Whereas cats are mischievous. Cats, you know, you don't know what they're thinking sometimes.
Evil creatures you don't want to let in your home.
Yeah. If you ever had an outdoor cat, it'll just vanish for days at a time, and then it'll show right back up and just be angry at you. It's like I don't know. You're the one who was gone. What's up?
Yeah, what are you mad at me for?
Yeah.
Jerk.
Yeah. You're the one probably impregnating cats all over the town.
Bob Barker knew what was up.
Yeah.
He had the right idea.
Todd, did you receive any asks this week?
I did. We have an ask. Somebody needs our help. So let us ask the Sweet Boys. All right, so send in all your life questions into parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com. Doesn't have to be video game related. This is just your life questions. We'll help you out. We have an ask from an anonymous. We keep your questions anonymous, and this is from an anonymous. And they wrote, "Why is she dating such a younger man? My sister is 39 and started dating this guy who barely turned 19. He's always at her house when I visit. She got her breasts enlarged a few years ago and dresses like a 21-year-old. She lets it all hang out, and it's embarrassing. My son is 12, and I don't think it's appropriate for him to see a boy who's a few years older than him feeling up on his aunt and smacking her beep around. I think it's embarrassing."
What is the beep?
Yeah, did they write out beep, or did you add that?
They censored themselves.
Okay.
Smacking her beep around.
That could be a lot of possibly terrible things.
Oh.
So is that the end of
it?
Yeah, that is the end. Why is she dating such a younger man?
How old did they say she was?
39.
Okay. And he was what, 20?
19.
Oh boy.
I mean, I think we heard the two reasons that he is dating her.
Well, it's not why is he dating her, it's why is she dating him. That is the ask. Was she recently divorced? Did they say that?
They didn't say, but I would assume that
I mean
she is not in a relationship previously.
Well, not what do you mean?
Currently, before this one, she was not in a relationship.
Currently, before this one.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I feel like that would have been part of the ask if it was, so. I mean,
she dresses like a 21-year-old and lets it all hang out, and it's embarrassing.
Look, love knows no bounds. Love, as they say, is blind.
Mm-hmm.
Who are we to judge?
What was the relation between the writer and the the hussy, I guess?
My sister is 39.
Like if you have a 39-year-old sister, I feel like that's someone like you probably don't need to see them like every week or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, what are they doing? Curious. Are they like sleeping in the same bedroom or something?
Do they live together
with their 12-year-old son?
Yeah, why is she seeing them so often that her son is got to hide his boners around his aunt?
Just cut the visits back to, you know, once every couple months or once every 6 months. Like, just talk them.
We got Thanksgiving. We got July 4th. Just keep it.
There's only
to that.
Two times a year you have to see these people, if you really boil it down.
Yeah.
And they're both within 4 weeks of each other.
Yeah, Thanksgiving and Christmas.
I mean, you shouldn't be celebrating birthdays. Like, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, It's her decision. She likes them young. She likes those stallions.
She likes that tender meat.
Tender meat. That's acceptable in society. The older lady, younger man. That's okay.
Who are we to judge? This fella, he's 19. He's a man. He is an adult male. Yeah,
he is an adult legally in the eyes of Uncle Sam. Mm-hmm. He can buy cigarettes and sign up for the army. So he can bang as many 39-year-olds as he wants.
Yeah. Get you some of them tender vittles.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I mean, just keep your son away from her and the other guy who seems like trouble. And then...
Hey, all I can say is...
Live your life.
This is only good for his 12-year-old son. He can hang out with this 19-year-old and they can play some Fortnite together.
Well, here it is. Use this as a teaching moment. Use this as an example of what not to do. That's what you teach your son. Like, look at these people. Look at them.
Look at them. They're having so much fun. Don't do that.
Don't have fun. Get a job. Well, I'm sure they're employed. All right. I don't know why I said that. But...
I mean, got to pay for it somehow. So,
I'm sure we helped the rent.
Oh, I'm positive we helped them a lot.
No doubt.
Todd, was there anything else you want to say before we signed off for the night?
Sure. All evidence of our deeds were destroyed in the fire. The end? Question mark.
I'm glad you put question mark in there. It's kind of like end of report. So.
No, that is a final. That is a final line. That is not an open ended line. End of report. It's very final.
Yeah. Huel, anything else you wanted to say?
Continuing my series of life advice from the manual, the best attack against a werewolf is a series of kicks and roundhouse leg sweeps.
Oh, again, vital information for real
life. Please keep that in mind.
Mm. Well, on that note, here is a snifferoo for next week's episode.